Testing, testing.
It's back. Not for long.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 277 of the Gentleman Sports Corner. I'm the W, and I'm here with the Aaron Brockovich to my Ed Masry. And thank you for joining us on this one-off episode of the Gentleman Sports Corner. If you want to get at us, you can do that through social media, Facebook, Instagram, and I'm gonna keep saying Twitter. You can find all that information at our website, renegadescholars.com. If you want to reach us directly, you can do so through email, renegadescholars@gmail.com. We can just tweet at us, hit us up in DMs, or comment on our posts like David Mackey does on every episode. And yeah, so if you want to yell at us or shit on us for being gone for so long, for actually over 2 months, actually, you could do that. Well, we might listen to them, or we just might send all that hateful speech David Mackey's way, and he'll deal with it, and then he'll put a hex on y'all. So y'all can deal with that. But thank you for joining us on this. This is like a special GSC episode, in a sense where I guess the reason I should mention the reason why we've been MIA is because life got in the way, and life is still in the way. But we had to come back with our annual unprepared GSC NFL season preview. And we're going to hit you with some hot takes. I know because I know Matt has some hot takes, because even though we haven't done an episode in a while, when you do see each other, he has notes already on his phone, and he's like ready to hit me with some shit. And I'm like, even like he's getting ready for like the new Madden game. So he's like, he's ready. Like he knows who's going to draft. He knows who's going to trade for. He already knows everything. So so even though like we haven't been doing it, you know, we're still. I mean, I actually have a bunch of screen grabs from different shows that I took. Maybe I'll read some of them. Maybe they'll be irrelevant by now, but we'll see how it goes. But before we get to the proceedings, we got to start off like we always start off with David Mackey's comments. But before I say that, so we're back with this special episode. Then we probably won't be back until
December.
December. So, but once
see ya.
Once we come back in the December, we'll be back. We should be back to our regularly scheduled programming, because you know, adulting, kids, it's real. And yeah, things we hopefully would have changed drastically in both of our lives, but we'll see what happens. But anyways, David starts off his comments with, "Well, I just got back from vacation and I'm about to leave for another. Fuck working." Oh. Comments. Well, they're going to this comment is gonna feel like going to it's gonna feel like checking out a time capsule. But we'll see what's gonna be going on. And David continues with, "Oh, y'all started early this time. Very good." I actually started early this time again too, David. It's light out, so it's not dark. David continues with, "All right, I'll try and get some Discord shit going when I get back from Maine. I'll make a server and invite the two of you. You have Discord accounts, right? I assume so, because of this alleged Meme City server that I'm not in. Not that I want to be, mind you. I imagine there's more activity than in the Facebook chat." Well, I mean, David, I'm sure, like, even if you got an invite, David, you wouldn't even be active in the chat, so don't act like you're being shunned from anything. David continues with, "Honestly, the newly married tag barely applies to us. We already lived together and didn't really have any major changes planned for after the wedding. Not that we're back from the honeymoon and all that. It's pretty much just business as usual. The main trip doesn't count, I guess. That's more of a new tradition." All right. I don't even think I asked David about his main trip. I think he just... Well, maybe I didn't get the chance to talk about it. Maybe he did talk about it and I just forgot, because I'm a terrible friend. But
see me, by the way?
No, I cannot see you.
Something's up with the camera. Keep going.
Okay. What's wrong? Okay, he's back.
Yeah, it's back.
See, like, the Zoom is like, oh, y'all haven't done this in a while? No. No GSC for you, no GSC for anybody. Fascist. David continues with, it's supposed to be raining a lot in Maine, so it's going to be a real stay inside and chill kind of trip, which I mostly enjoy, but might also make me restless. So I'm bringing damn near every video game platform I own. Very good, David. And David continues with, nah, no pub crawl. I'm out of town. I'll go to Maine again just to avoid it.
He showed up. No, he showed up, liar.
Yeah, he did. He couldn't resist. David continues with, ah, here's why Maddie resent the picture of Hurley's at the airport. Shaking my head. But they'll be out here, quote, not looking at shit. Close quote. Yeah, I'm never. Oh, you got him, David. David continues with, the W's weekly Maddie winning song guessing extravaganza, TM. Sponsored by the state of Maine, of course.
It's the last one right now.
Yep. The first song is Looking for Somebody to Love by the 1975, in parentheses, Maddie Doesn't Like Them, marking it down. And Alive by Pearl Jam, in parentheses, LOL, Alrighty Then, interesting choice. What, David, what, you hate Pearl Jam? Like, what's going on? Do I have any saved up? Nope, I don't, so... The wedding song guessing extravaganza has been retired. Yeah, had a good run. David continues with, so Greg confirmed my suspicions on Twitter that he's not a particular fan of Pearl Jam. I knew it.
Oh, right.
And then David continues with, I generally enjoy MCR, at least their music from the era when they were popular. Haven't cared much about them since. I noticed recently that I've ignored most bands I liked back then. Can't even remember the last time I listened to Billy Talent or whoever. Wow. What are you listening to now, David? Let us know. David continues with, good. Kick at him out. Throw him off the balcony. He's too loud.
Wow.
Whole world. David continues with, look, man, Il Bizzard has one fucking bridge that leads to it. Would you really want to live there? I mean, maybe if you're a recluse, David. I don't know. David continues with, my wife also asked Maddie's wife to be, and she said there shouldn't be anything wedding-related that weekend, so I think we're good, and the NYC trip has officially been booked now anyway. So, yeah. All right. When y'all going to New York? I didn't know that.
They're going the week before
David continues with, oh, the shirts are coming in July. Very good. I'll try to get
they're already here. Yeah. Oh, that reminds me, I gotta talk to Adam about getting his, like...
Oh, he still has a guy in this?
No, he was like, I'm gonna be losing weight because of work and shit.
Okay,
so he's on the clock now.
Did Adrian get his?
He did. He sent me a message saying I got my shirt, and I was like, hooray. I was even thinking of calling them.
That's good. And we get the ties too, David. Oh, things are coming up. Things are coming up, Maddie of the GSC. David continues with, I think they say, oh, the shirts are coming in July. Very good. I'll try to get a new suit jacket around then too. And David continues with, oh, I don't know. I thought you cared that my suit jacket was more for a tux. If you don't really care, then I'll just wear the same one. Less money I gotta spend, LOL. Plus, Greg and I will match, but it's fully up to you. So do you care? Do you have a preference?
No, we already talked about that.
Yeah, you already talked about that? All right. That's some off-wax conversation, I see. David continues with, my wife actually wants to watch Blackberry with me, so I didn't get to it this week, but it sounds like a great thing to watch while we're in Maine. And yes, I'm 100% pirating it. My apologies to Matt Johnson.
Yeah, he's like, it's a Canadian film. I have to watch it in the United States. And I got to pirate it. He laughed.
Racist against his own fellow countrymen. What a shame by David Macri. David continues with, I mean, I feel like Sydney Sweeney is basically always typecast as a mean girl at this point anyway. She played a real piece of work in the first season of The White Lotus. I don't think she has a lot of real acting cred. Ooh, shots fired. David continues with, you did not butcher Julia Testa. Excellent work there, W. Thank you, David. And then David continues with, Mike Trout is selfish. As per Maddie, marking it down.
Wow. Not that.
Strong take.
Angels. Trash.
Mark it down, David.
Ohtani no longer the greatest of all time.
Damn shame. And now people are saying, like, oh my God, like, I can't believe they didn't trade him at the trade deadline. And those same people were like, no, you got to keep him. You can't trade him.
And then they went all in. Everyone they traded for is basically off the team now. Because they're fucking horrible. And Ohtani might never, he's not pitching for at least 2 years.
And, speaking of baseball, I guess I got a couple baseball notes. This is from a way back. Yankees pitcher Domingo Germán records the 24th perfect game in MLB history. He's the fourth Yankees pitcher to ever do it. But he was also suspended for domestic violence. So how do you talk about it? Do you celebrate it? If you celebrate it, are you also celebrating the man with the checkered past? So that was the whole thing. And the other thing was Freddie Freeman just got to 2,000 hits. Can he get to 3,000? He's actually having an MVP year, and he might not even be the best player on his team. That might be Mookie Betts. Anywho, David continues with, Miami doesn't win championships. As for Maddie, marking it down. Damn. The Dan Levitard Show with Sugas would not like that take. David continues with, LMAO, Grady Dick is a pretty good one. Well, it's going to be a Raptor, David, so get hyped for the new Raptor season. David continues with, there's a chance that Chris Paul plays for the Wizards. As for the W, but not Manny, marking it down. Well, I was way off on that one. David continues with, Minicams is the GOAT. Moon, as for the W, marking it down. The Moon wasn't me. That was David Macri, faithful listeners. David continues with, winning a championship has made Masai Ujiri arrogant. As per Maddie, marking it down. Wow. That's a take that Raptors fans don't want to hear, but it might be true. David continues with, Orlando Jordan does indeed have Dragon Ball Z hair, at least in some pics. Regardless, he always looks like he's ready to go Ultra Instinct.
Wow. Man, keeping up.
Commercials at 1 hour, 35 minutes, 55 seconds. Ah, the Sigma Male grind set. A lot of the specifics are different now, but it's all still the same basic idea. Jeremy Gans. Oh, it's the entire Pokemon rant. Damn, that's a long rant. I thought you'd just grab clips from it. No, David. You sent me the as one piece. I'm putting it as one piece. Also, it's legendary, man. Come on, you can't cut that shit up. David continues with, no new films for me this week. Been taking it easy, but I'm hoping we'll get to watch a few in Maine, including Blackberry, hopefully, and ideally some sort of bad movie because it's them. Stay tuned. Do you know if you ended up watching Blackberry? Did you and David ever talk about it?
I remember. We were talking about Dark Side of the Ring.
Oh, okay. Hey, did you watch Blackberry? What's up with that? Let us know. David continues with, TV updates. Nothing new at all. We're still going through the final season of House, and I'm still watching Seinfeld episodes on my own. But that'll most likely change when we get back. Stay tuned. Oh, we'll stay tuned, David. David continues with, oh, speaking of Seinfeld, I've been watching, because when I asked you if I could borrow those King of the Hill DVDs, I was like, well, what am I going to watch now? And I had to fight up Netflix, and I saw Seinfeld was there. So, yeah, I'm up to season 3. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, we're almost done. We're on season 9. The 9th season is so much better than the 8th. The 8th was really a letdown. The 9th is pretty good.
Didn't Larry David come back for the 9th season? Or am I tripping?
I think so. He definitely came back for the finale.
Right.
But I kind of wonder if season 8 was... I'm not ready to say goodbye yet. I'm like, damn, this really could have used another one. I kind of wish there was a 10th. And I wonder if the 8th season was, if it wasn't really bad, if Jerry Seinfeld wouldn't have decided to pull the plug because he said he wanted to go out on top. I wonder if the 8th season was on par with 7 at 9, if he would have wanted to go one more time.
But yeah, man, there's some good stuff in there. Like, it's just in season 3, it's just funny how, like, Kramer blows up everybody's spot with just like some observations where it was like the nose episode where it's just like
a nose job,
and Elaine's like, Kramer, you said that. It's like, wow, what did I say? and he ends up with her at the end.
Yeah.
And then like there was the other one where it's, where Elaine tries on the cashmere sweater and he's just like,
he's drunk. Yeah, he's drunk in that one. What's that red dot on your sweater?
Oh man. And then like at the end, Elaine's like, well, Jerry told me that you knew about it and you bought it anyway. And then Joe's like,
you told her.
What's the matter with you?
Oh, you idiot! She tricked you.
And they say, Elaine, it wasn't my fault. I was running a fever. I was seeing red dots everywhere. Oh my god!
My mother's been in the hospital. Yeah, because she caught you. That's enough.
And it's just like when he had sex with the cleaning lady and the boss told him about it, and then he's like, was that something that I wasn't supposed to do? Like, just,
I gotta plead ignorance on this one.
Because like in other places that worked, that, I mean, that was very common and a very, very fair play. I'm just saying. Oh man, Costanza. Oh, also the Bookman episode, man, all time performance, yeah, by Philip
you
Baker.
Listen here.
Well, you listen here, Joy Boy. I got my eye on you.
Pee-pees and wee-wees. Now I don't want to see any of that for the children.
Oh man. David continues with his comments with Maddie watched one new movie, no alert. He watched Wong Kar Wai's As Tears Go By from 1988.
Oh, that was a good movie.
Starring Andy Lau, Maggie Cheung, Jackie Cheung, Alex Mann, and others. He gives it 3.5 out of 5. And then David continues with he also watched season 6, episode 10, and season 6, episode 11 of Better Call Saul, and it's better, he guesses. All right, I'll take it. Are you done with that, right?
Yeah, it's finished.
Okay.
Good. I'm on Friday Night Lights now.
Oh.
Very good show.
And for the people listening, how do you feel about Better Call Saul and the ending and the show overall, and what's it like compared to Breaking Bad?
Better Call Saul went out with a dud, in my opinion.
Oh. Damn shame. Does it get the Maddie seal of approval?
No.
But you did share a pretty choice Oppenheimer meme with me over the weekend.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
Where it's a clip of, I think it's like from season 4 or something, where the Walt's talking to Jesse and then it's like, all of this, it's all about me. And I was just like, looking back on it, I was like, wow, Walt was a crazy egocentric asshole, man. But great performance by Bryan Cranston. Also, speaking of Bryan Cranston, looking forward to seeing him in Seinfeld.
No, oh, yeah. Bob Odenkirk too. Forget about him.
Oh, he was in Southpaw too?
Oh, you'll see.
Oh, okay. Alright. David continues with the W has not seen a damn thing this week. Alert! Discord server and soundboard coming soon. Oh wow. Can't wait for that. Well, I've been watching movies, David. So I'll share some. I might share all the movies that I've seen. Who knows? David continues with this week's main event is the Jets discussing Duck You Sucker / A Face Full of Dynamite / Once Upon a Time The Revolution from 1971, starring Rod Steiger, James Coburn, Romolo Valli, and others. Maddie gives it 4 out of 5, and the W gives it 3.5 out of 5. Almost simpatico. As expected, I didn't watch it, but maybe one day. Oh, he's not going to watch it. Stop lying, David. And David continues with, quote, $5. David continues with, quote, there are some white-ass Mexicans out there, close quote. Yo, our boy, yo. And then David continues with, next week, the Jets will be discussing Steven Soderbergh's Aaron Brockovich from 2000, starring Julia Roberts, Albert Finney, David Brisbane, Aaron Eckhart, and others. I'll think about it. Depends what I can access in Maine and what we get up to. But otherwise, y'all enjoy. Then David continues with, bring back the guillotine. Marry Antoinette these fuckers. Asper Maddie, marking it down. And then David closes it off with, all right, gents, good shit as always. Nah, you insulting it. He's like, nah, you insulting him a little bit. And until next time. And once again, I forgot to read the caption for those comments. And David said, quote, You pull that trick and shoot me, I fall. And if I fall, they'll have to alter all the vengeance. And then Greg said a comment from that week where he said, hey, the W, I've never mentioned Pearl Jam being a fave band to you or Maddie of the JSC, and I only know one of their albums, the one Alive is on. Oh, all right. How about that? All right. So you ready to get into this?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Fuck.
GSC NFL preview. You want to start off with the best division in all of football, the NFC South, or you want to close it with the NFC South?
Start with the AFC East. Go in order.
Oh shit! All right, hit us with it. What do you want? Who do you want to shit on in the AFC East?
Well, we got the AFC East. We got the Bills, the Dolphins, Davis team, Patriots, and Jets. Well, right away, I'm gonna write all these down. The Patriots are finishing in last place. They're an absolute catastrophe. They don't even have a backup quarterback at the moment.
Well, they got one in the practice squad. They resigned. Check this out. Check this in out, David. Bailey Zappi.
Texas Longhorn, I believe. They're bad. They're really bad. And apparently, Schuster has a really bad knee. His knee injury is flared up. And they're just they are so bad at getting talent on this team now. It's crazy considering how good they were for such a long time. But, man, Bill Belichick, ooh, that guy cannot draft anymore. Oof. So they're finishing in last. The New York Jets, ready for this? They're not making the playoffs.
Whoa, David, mark it down. Matty of the JC does not believe that the New York Jets will make the playoffs. He believes that, okay, well, keep going. I'm not going to speak for you.
They are the Oppenheimer of football teams.
Wow, David, mark it down. The New York Jets are the Oppenheimer of football teams.
Aaron Rodgers, that guy is... He's not going to be as good as people think he's going to be. It's just not going to happen. And, you know, they have Dalvin Cook. I don't think he's going to stay healthy the whole year. I just don't trust the team. Now that it's who's going to win, I guess I got to go with the Bills. Got to go with the Bills. I don't trust Tua at all. Tua and on. It's not happening here. Yeah, I guess I'll go with the Bills. I don't know. This division is not... I don't think it's all what it's cracked up to be.
Well, I'll tell you this. From watching ESPN shows, it is the most discussed division in all of football.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought it would be the Jaguars getting the most hype, but no. It's the Jets. Blah.
Now, one thing I saw about the Jets that could give some validation to your Aaron Rodgers is going to suck hypothesis is the offensive line. That's the big question mark for this team, because the defense is going to be a top five defense, if not top three defense. They added some receivers in Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb, who are familiar with Aaron Rodgers. Garrett Wilson, I think he won Offensive Rookie of the Year last year. He's one of the better young receivers in the league. And I think they also have Mecole Hardman. And I think they have CJ Uzomah as a tight end. So they got some weapons, but it's just the line that's going to be a question, especially with Mekhi Becton. He was supposed to be the starting left tackle. He's been hurt. I think he's only played three games in the last 2 years. So that's going to be the big concern.
He plays right tackle, by the way.
They switched to right tackle? Okay. So that's going to be the concern. But, you know, with Nathaniel Hackett, a.k.a. The Hack, who was the head coach of the Denver Broncos last year. And I think it's pretty unanimous that that was one of the worst coaching performances of all time. And Nathaniel Hackett, even your boy and my boy Sean Payton shat on him, which was a whole controversy, okay, I guess. But so yeah, he's gonna be the OC. And when he was the OC with Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay, they were doing a lot of quick passes, getting the ball out quickly, making sure that Aaron Rodgers wouldn't get sacked. So I'm sure they're gonna employ something similar.
I think this team is gonna 100% crack under the pressure. And I think there's gonna be too much of that good old drama. And
people are saying that, like, them being on Hard Knocks, that's a bad omen. It's too much attention.
He's gonna be complaining. Rodgers, he'll be complaining.
Yeah.
At some point. Write that down too. He'll be complaining.
And they have a sneaky tough beginning of the schedule too. If you look at their schedule, they start off against the Buffalo Bills on Monday night. Now it is at home, but still, this is like a team that's favored to not only win the division but possibly come out of the conference. Then they go at Dallas to play the Cowboys. Then they come back home and play the Patriots. That should be a winnable game. But then they play against the Chiefs at home. Then it's at Denver. Then it's against the Eagles. And that's all before that Week 7 bye. So they could easily fall to like 2-4, maybe 1-5 by the bye. And I guess in the second half, it kind of eases up a little bit more.
They got the Chargers, Raiders, Falcons, Houston, Commanders, Browns, and Patriots.
So it eases up a little bit, but that's those first 6 weeks are going to be make or break. And here's David, to just so that you could get soused by the intelligence of Aaron Rodgers. This Aaron Rodgers on discussing psychedelics with athletes. He said, quote, "To see basketball players and baseball players and surfers, entertainers, and my own teammates and colleagues across the league reach out and either share their story about their own medicine journey or ask to be a part of an upcoming one was pretty special." Close quote.
This guy thinks he's the Jim Morrison. This guy is the Jim Morrison of fucking football players. Hmm. Let's go do some peyote in the fucking desert, man. Expand your mind.
But I feel like how you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, that's like, I feel like it's very similar to what's his name, Nicolas Cage. Expand your mind.
Oh yeah, like Aaron Rodgers is a joke.
Oh, they're working down. Aaron Rodgers is a joke. Whoa.
Next.
All right, what's talk about the next division?
AFC West. With Eat Your Broncos.
Yeah, a lot of people don't believe in Russell Wilson. They don't believe in Russell Wilson. And I can't blame him because he's... Now, if the Broncos fell and he has another bad season, now it's totally on Russell Wilson. Like, you can't blame Hackett. You can't blame... Now, we do have some injured guys. We have some injured receivers. Again, Tim Patrick is out again.
He's gone.
KJ Hamler is hurt too. Jerry's gone. Judy,
hurt.
I think he has a hamstring injury. Ugh. But... Sean Payne will find a way because he always finds a way. If he has like some solid running backs,
exactly,
he'll be fine.
And, you got Will Lutz kicking for you now. Let's go.
Oh my God. You wait, what was your thoughts on that move? Did you hate it or did you like it?
I hate it. I absolutely despised it.
Yeah, you love Will Lutz.
Yeah.
Who you like more, Lutz or Morstead?
Morstead.
Ooh.
And he's another guy. We got rid of him for Blake Gillikin. Blake Gillikin's gone too.
Oh no.
Rookie punter, rookie kicker. Fuck this fucking stupid team. Anyway, the Broncos are winning the division.
Oh my God, David, mark it down. The Denver Broncos are winning the division as per Maddie of the GSC. He has them over Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Oh my God, the blasphemy.
Break my nose. Well, the thing about the Chiefs is Chris Jones not going to be there until week 8.
Yeah, because he's holding out due to him not getting paid enough, which, I mean, he might be arguably the best defensive tackle in football, so. Yeah, get your money. But that'll be fascinating. How will the Chiefs defense hold up without... He's pretty much like the third best player on the team after Mahomes and Kelsey.
Yeah. He's definitely the best player on that defense. The Raiders...
I know you're excited for them to fail because you hate Jimmy Garoppolo. You hate Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. They're a joke, but...
Chargers, though. Wild card.
Chargers? No, I don't think so.
God.
I'm going to mark it down, too. They're missing the division.
Oh my God! Wait, the division or the
playoffs? Miss playoffs. Sorry.
Imagine like they're so bad they're no longer part of the AFC West. They're just like their own team wandering, and
they're like Notre Dame in college football, independent.
Oh, so you don't believe in Justin Herbert? Wow.
Or Austin Eckler or Keenan Allen? They're gonna be in some trouble too because I think Eckler and Mike Williams are both. On contract years. They got a lot of money tied up in some big stars.
But you have Kellen Moore as the new OC. He's going to light it up.
No, don't believe in them. Don't believe in their coach.
Yeah, I'm not a Brandon Staley fan. I mean, David, again,
he's the worst coach in the division.
He blew a 27-point lead in the playoffs, David.
I would say he's a worse coach than McDaniels.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's not crazy. Even though we like to shit on Josh McDaniels, I mean, I can see that. But what do you think? Do you think Staley's on the hot seat for the Chargers this year?
Oh, yeah. If they miss the playoffs, he's gone.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. All right, David, Mandy has the Denver Broncos in a shocker winning the division. All right, let's go to the next division.
AFC North. So here's okay. Ravens, they're missing the playoffs too.
Whoa.
David, mark it down. All these skill players.
David has, but Mandy has the Baltimore. He had the Baltimore Ravens winning the Super Bowl last year. Now he doesn't have to make the playoffs this year.
Exchange fast, man.
And they're supposedly better.
Odell's not going to stay healthy. The running back, the other receiver. I mean, they got Mark Andrews. He's really good, but they got a lot of guys who can't stay on the field on that offense.
They drafted Zay Flowers.
And Raekwon Smith, he's really good. Let's go look at this. Let's see.
Also,
Flowers.
The big change, new OC, Tom Munkin from Georgia. He's going to spread it out. He's gonna spread it out.
That's right. Turn him into a pocket passer.
Yeah, he's gonna allow Lamar to sling it.
Well, there's them. Their one hope is that Joe Burrow stays hurt. Mm. He hurt his calf in OTAs or whatever, spring training.
But he's back at practice, and according to reports, Zach Taylor was asked about Joe Burrow and his status and about his calf. I think he said something, quote, his body feels pretty good. And people were just like, dude, we don't care about the body. Talk about the calf. What are you doing?
Yeah. I think that they'll win. I think Cincinnati should win a division. And I think the Steelers will be in second. And they'll make the playoffs. Browns are going to be an absolute, they're going to be a bottom five team.
So you don't see a Deshaun Watson resurgence?
No.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, this is gonna sound fucked up, but you know the fact that the Browns gave this dude a fully guaranteed contract, which is absolutely unheard of, and even since then, people are so like, that was so dumb, and to like give that contract to that guy, especially off of him coming off of all of those sexual misconduct allegations, it's like I feel like it'd be good karma for the Browns to be terrible during the Deshaun Watson reign. But we'll see what happens. But this might be the toughest division in all of football, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do think this is going to be a better division than the AFC East, because the Steelers, if their players can stay healthy, they got a really interesting team, because they got Hayward, Watt, and Fitzpatrick. Those are all top guys. Like, Watt might be the best player. If he can stay healthy, he might be the best defensive player in the league.
Because you remember when TJ Watt got hurt last year, and their record was terrible. But then when he came back, they closed the season out strong. So yeah, you're right. TJ Watt is massively important.
They got a lot of great. They got Pat Freiermuth with a really good tight end.
Your boy Deontay Johnson. Your boy
Deontay Johnson and Johnson and George Pickens. Mm. Could be the best duo in the league this year.
People are really hung.
They keep talking about Pickens. He's gonna next step.
People are saying like, this guy's gonna be a top five receiver.
Whoa,
hands down this year. And I'm like,
God damn. They also have Alex Highsmith. He seems to be a pretty good edge rusher.
Yeah.
And Allen Robinson. And that guy's not gonna get any targets yet again. Whew.
Oh, I forgot he was on that team. Damn. See, I knew it always happens when we do these previews. I'm like, he's on that team?
They got Joey Porter Jr.
Oh, man.
They drafted him.
Nepo baby.
Yeah. I like their draft class. It was good. See, they can draft the fucking Patriots. Joke.
This is the Steelers, man. They always, I don't know how they do it, they always draft good receivers.
Yeah. They have legacy of good receivers.
Santonio Holmes, Martavis Bryant, I think was his name.
Antonio he was Brown. Good.
Now George Pickens, it's like, it's crazy. But so are you picking Pickett for the Pro Bowl?
You know what? I'm gonna, okay, sure. Pickett Pro Bowler this year.
Yeah, mark it down. Maddie has Kenny Pickett making the Pro Bowl this year.
Also, Najee Harris is pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But the one thing for Baltimore, I'll say, is with Mark, with if the receivers can stay healthy, that should, because Mark Andrews was like, because defenses would play to take away Mark Andrews because he was like their only weapon. Yeah. So now that they have some weapons that could stay healthy, that should alleviate some of the load off of Andrews, and that should help him have a better year and for the offense have a better year as well. But to your point, injuries are a concern. So we'll see what happens. All right, what's the next division?
Now it is truly the worst division in football. Might be the current worst division in all the four professional sports, the AFC South, Texans, Colts, Jaguars, Titans. Well, the Jags are going to win the division.
Yeah.
They should run away with it, to be honest. If they don't sweep, that's bad. That's pretty bad. They have potentially three rookie quarterbacks starting in this division. I think they might be starting Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee, but Will Levis will for sure be starting at some point this year. Richardson and CJ Strauss.
Oh, that Oppenheimer hater? You're talking about him?
he's the real hater.
Yeah.
We'll get into it. Houston might actually be good now that I'm thinking about it. They had a pretty good. They got a lot of. They got some pretty good. Let's take a look at this roster here. Where the fuck are they? There they are. So they got the good rookie quarterback. They got Jimmy Ward is on Houston. Wow.
Who?
Shaq Mason is on Houston too. Holy moly, Jimmy Ward. He's the he was on San Francisco, I believe, last year.
Oh, okay.
Free safety.
Right, yeah.
Shaq Mason is there. Right guard. Damian Pierce, I really like him at the running back. Dalton Schultz at tight end. And they have Devin Singletary at running back too. Holy moly. Let's see. Yeah, they got Will Anderson Jr. He was, I think, the third overall pick. Because they had two. Oh, Sheldon Rankins is on this team too. God damn.
Oh, your boy. Former Saint.
Yeah, they have a pretty decent team. I still think. Oh, and Tank Dell. I see posts about him all the time. Rookie Tank Dell.
Mm.
They are always posting about this dude.
David, what do you think of that name for a football player? Tank Dell. What do you think of that?
They are just like, he's going to a huge, huge year, breakout season. He's the guy. I still think the Jags win. I guess Houston will finish second. The Colts, man, what an absolute mess. I cannot believe they're not paying Jonathan Taylor when they have a rookie quarterback. They have a quarterback on a rookie contract. It's so... That shit makes no fucking sense to me. I mean, even just giving him a three-year deal with, like, all the money. You don't have anyone to pay for the next 3 years. Man, that shit does not make any sense.
It's Jim Irsay, man. Jim Irsay. And, like, you still see him talking. Like, it's funny how Stephen A. Smith is like, there's something about Jim Irsay. Like, hey, like, when he talks, like, he looks a little shaky to me. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm just going to leave it at that. He looks a little shaky to me.
He's a recreational drug user, that's for sure.
Mm.
So, where he goes, I don't think he's going to get traded. I don't think he can get traded for four games now because he's on the PUP list and he can't play for four games or something like that.
Yeah, and it's just,
I don't know where he's going.
Is this weird thing where he could keep, like, holding out because he could, like, have a phantom injury, quote unquote, and just, right, like, right, not play? But it just doesn't make sense for a couple of reasons. One, you have Anthony Richardson, who's a mobile quarterback. And he ran RPOs in college. Then you're bringing in Shane Steichen, who was the OC for the Eagles, who ran an RPO-heavy offense with Jalen Hurts last year that led them to the Super Bowl. So you have, like, a quarterback now in Anthony Richardson that's kind of similar to Jalen Hurts, but you're not going to have one of the best running backs in the league to help with that RPO offense. It makes no sense. But anyways, Jonathan Taylor's going to the Saints. That's all that matters.
I saw him rumored going to Philadelphia, my goodness. Yeah, the Jags, they should be good. They have Calvin Ridley. I mean, he's a joke, but we'll see how good he does.
It's a former Falcon. That's why he's saying that. Everybody's signed Calvin Ridley except for Meadow, the GSC. Mark it down.
He's a fucking joke.
Wow.
Tennessee, Tennessee drafted a running back that I was hoping the Saints would draft. Spears.
Never heard of him.
I think he's going to get quite a lot of... he's going to get quite a lot of, touches.
Tennessee is weird because Mike Vrabel is going to coach him up. They're going to be competitive, but I don't think they have enough talent to be taken seriously.
No.
But I'm looking at this Jags schedule. I mean, they start off against the Colts. That should be a win. But then they have the Chiefs. That's a loss. But then they have the Texans, the Falcons. Those would be wins.
Against the Chiefs. Home against the Chiefs. If they win that game against the Chiefs at home with no Chris Jones.
Oh, that's true.
Start the hype train. Let's go.
Yeah. Then you have the Bills. That's probably a loss. Colts. That should be a win. Then they have the Saints. That's winnable.
That's a surefire win. My gosh.
Steelers. That's winnable. Then that Niners.
And the bye. The Niners at home after a bye. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Then Titans, that should be a win. Texans, win. Bengals, loss. Browns, win. Ravens, possibly a win. Bucks, win. Panthers, win. Dude, Titans, win. Yo, they could get to 12 wins if they want to.
They're running away with it. They might get some home playoff games. Trevor Lawrence, breakthrough year. Let's go!
All right, enough of this fucking division. We've talked about them enough. All right, let's shift our focus to the NFC.
Hold on. Whoa. I'm getting lost here. Give me the standings, dude. What are you doing? All right. The NFC, the most talked about division in the history of, in the aggregate. Michael Wilbon hates it. NFC East, I-95 bias.
That's right.
I'm picking Philly to win a division. I think Philly will be... Yeah, Philadelphia, they had an insane draft class with Nolan Smith, Jalen Carter, Keely Ringo. Is that another good name, David? They're fucking absolutely loaded. And they got Logan Ryan to replace C.J. Gardner-Johnson. It's ridiculous how fucking loaded this team is. I think the Cowboys are good. I think the Cowboys make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But they're such in a no-man's land right now because it's just like... I think I don't see them competing with the Eagles, and it's like, dude, then they have to. But they're like built to win now, you know.
Yeah, they have a Super Bowl level defense. They added Stephon Gilmore at cornerback.
Yeah, they are fucking loaded on defense.
Him playing opposite Trayvon Diggs, that's gonna be big. Oof. Still have Micah Parsons, who's like a top five defensive player. Oof.
DeMarcus Lawrence on the other side.
Yeah. Who are my two concerns for the Cowboys? One, Dak Prescott.
And they have Brandon Cooks. They have Brandon Cooks, wide receiver.
Your boy Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
The running game. They let Ezekiel Elliott go. I think he's in New England now. Tony Pollard's coming off a leg injury.
Yep.
Everyone agreed that Tony Pollard was a better running back last year, but him being the lead back now without a steady number two, that's a concern. But my main two concerns is Dak Prescott. He's good, but I'm not a believer. My second one, which is bigger, Mike McCarthy calling the plays. That's Chris, if you're listening, how do you feel about them boys, man? How do you feel about them boys? But like you said, they're built to win now. And I think they also traded for Trey Lance. And people were like, how could you do that? How could you do that without letting Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy know? What is wrong with you, Jerry Jones? Answer right now. Like he's the owner, president, and GM. You can do whatever the fuck he wants. It's Jerry Jones.
Feels like a makeup for him not being able to draft Johnny Manziel. He's like, I'm gonna go get him. Fuck, let's make a splash.
Yeah.
Commanders, they're not winning. They're not doing much.
I think the defense is gonna be sneaky good this year, and no, they're gonna be less in the division. But I think the defense is going to be sneaky good. One and two, I hope that the offense plays well because maybe that'll make Eric Bieniemy look good and maybe that'll give him a head coaching position sometime in the future.
I hope they have a good offense too. That way when the Saints fire Dennis Allen and Pete Carmichael, we can bring in Eric Bieniemy to clean things up.
Exactly.
God's sakes. The Giants are a weird team, too, because it's just like... They got this fucking stud at running back. They don't want to pay him either. They got him on the one-year deal. So I fully expect him to leave in the offseason.
Yeah, Mad Dog... Oh, sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, they got Jones on the long-term deal now.
Yeah.
But I just... They're going to be a very in-the-middle team.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Daniel Jones looked really good in that playoff game against the Vikings where I was like, oh, this guy could be legit. But then he got trounced against the Eagles in the following game. So I'm still iffy on him. I don't know if he's... I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback. He's middle of the pack, but I don't know how much better he can get. And the whole Saquon Barkley thing is like, oh, we don't know if we're going to pay him, even though he's clearly your best player on your team and like you have no offense. Now, people love the Dan Waller acquisition. It's a good acquisition, but is he going to stay healthy? I don't know. And Mad Dog was talking about how he's not sure about this Giants team because he didn't like their schedule. He thought that it was way too tough. And he doesn't see them. He doesn't see them making the playoffs, but yeah, the NFC is gonna be interesting. Do you think who's more likely to have a Super Bowl hangover, the Eagles or the Chiefs?
I would say the Chiefs.
Oh,
interesting. Because that's tough. Because the Chiefs have a much better coach. I'm still not high on this coach in Philly, but they have a veteran team though. They have a lot of veterans on there.
That's the other thing with the Eagles; they lost both of their coordinators. So, yep. Do you think that's going to have an effect?
I don't think this losing this Gannon guy is going to be that big of a deal, to be honest.
Because you saw that speech that I sent you, and you're like, yeah.
Players didn't have good things to say about him either after they left. Like CJ Gardner-Johnson said, he didn't put us in a position to win.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
I think they succeeded mostly because of their talent. But I think they have a lot of winners on that team too.
Okay. Yeah, it's a weird thing where it kind of feels like we could have a Super Bowl rematch next year. Because I mean, with the Chiefs, they're gonna be the AFC is as tough as it's been since I can remember. But like you said, they have Andy Reid. Who's arguably the best head coach in the league, and they have the best player in the world in Patrick Mahomes. So it's hard.
They're gonna be fine on offense.
Because that's a good point. The defense is the question. Because remember last year we were like, oh, they're not gonna have Tyreek Hill. The offense is gonna be in shambles. And Patrick Mahomes ended up having an MVP. I think he threw like 5,000 yards or some shit. So it's like,
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they, they'll do things to keep the pressure off the defense.
Yeah,
short passing, running
for the NFC East. So you have Philly winning it, Dallas making the playoffs. Do you have the Giants making the playoffs?
No.
Ooh. Okay.
No, I'm gonna have them miss the playoffs, but they have a chance in this. I'll get back to that actually.
Okay.
I'll get back to that. NFC West, 49ers are gonna run away with it, and the Seahawks also make the playoffs. The other two teams are gonna be a complete joke. Cardinals are gonna finish in last. And they're gonna draft Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
If he declares.
Yeah, Cardinals, man, they've been a sneaky, terrible franchise over the last few years.
Yeah. I'm really hoping for an Eagles 49ers Super Bowl or a championship game.
Mm.
Ooh, the 49ers play the Bengals this year. Ooh, that's going to be a good game. They play the Jags. We already talked about that. It's going to be a good game. They play the Ravens near the end. Woo! And then, they do play the Eagles this year. Holy moly. They play the Eagles December 3rd, Mark. That's a Sunday. Mark your calendars. It is not the Sunday Nighter. What the fuck is the Sunday Nighter? I gotta have to zoom all the way down to December 3rd now. Oh my god, game of the year, David. Let's see here. Oh, it's November. December 3rd, the Sunday Nighter is Chiefs-Packers. What?
Yeah, that's weird.
That's going to be flexed.
Yeah.
What in the world?
Anyway,
the 49ers, I'm still high. I'm still super high on them. I know everyone wants to shit on them because they traded Trey Lance. I'm a big fan of when people are proactive. Uh-huh. They say, you know what? this was a mistake. Let's just correct. Do whatever we can to correct it.
Yeah, people left. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I'm just gonna say it's just funny how like people love to shit on the Niners for. How could you give up that much draft capital on Trey Lance and just trade him away for a fourth rounder? What a terrible. Yeah, okay, it was a terrible decision, but at the same time, it was some bad luck that they got hit with. Like, all of their quarterbacks got hurt last year. They had to play McCaffrey at quarterback in the conference championship game. Like, that's like an unprecedented amount of bad luck.
They tried to put Purdy back. Purdy played the second half.
Yeah, they tried to, but
he had a broken elbow, for God's sakes. He couldn't throw.
Yeah. But so they tried to go with Trey Lance last year as it started. They were gonna go for it. He broke his leg in like the second or third game. But then it was like, okay, do we keep, because the guy doesn't have a lot of reps since high school. So is it like, all right, do we give him a chance? But at the same time, you have a Super Bowl ready roster. Can you afford, like, you gotta, it's crazy, you gotta go for it now. Like, so you gotta give, but it's not like the court, like Brock Purdy, I think the jury's still out. Even though he did play really well last year in a small sample size, they have Sam Darnold as a backup. In a weird way, I think if he has a chance, he might thrive in that Kyle Shanahan offense. But
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, the one thing that Mina mentioned was that they don't have a lot of depth. So if one of those guys get hurt, like Deebo Samuel or George Kittle or Brandon Ayuk or McCaffrey, they're going to be very compromised offensively. Now, part of me is like, I agree, but there's also part of me that's like, Cal Shannon's got to figure it out. It doesn't matter who he puts in there; they're gonna find a way to run to get the ball down the field and score some points.
Bosa's also holding out currently.
Oh, that's true.
So that's a problem.
I feel like they have to work that out. Like, the guy's another top five defensive player in the league. Like,
he might be the best edge rusher. Trent Williams might be the best left tackle. McCaffrey, running back. Fred Warner might be the best middle linebacker. Kittle might be the best tight end.
Yeah.
Samuel. He's coming off a bad year, but I think he's top 10 at least, very least top 10 receiver.
But is he a receiver? Is he a running back? Like, the guy's like, he's probably the most devastating offensive weapon in football.
Yeah. Whew, they got Hargrave and Armstead on the line. They still have Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah.
If McCaffrey gets hurt, so I think they can survive a McCaffrey injury, if it's not for like a year or whatever, because that guy does get hurt.
Yeah,
I think the biggest thing for Purdy is that he had really good chemistry with Kittle. Like, Kittle's numbers were not good with
Garoppolo. Yeah,
and he was even talking about he was saying public comments. Oh,
that's true.
About how he was getting frustrated, and then as soon as Purdy came in, his numbers just exploded.
That's true. That's a good point. I'm not worried about San Fran. The Rams, I forgot that they traded Jalen Ramsey to, what was it, the Jaguars? Did he? But he's gonna be out until December. Oh, the Dolphins, that's true. My bad, thank you. But he's gonna be out until December, so. But the Rams,
Cooper Kupp's not playing either. Cooper Kupp might be here.
Yeah, and apparently Matthew Stafford's wife, Kelly, has been talking about how Matthew Stafford can't connect with his younger teammates. What is he gonna do?
They're experienced. They went all in, and this is what you talk about, the Super Bowl hangover. They're in the bachelor party, Super Bowl esque hangover right now.
Yeah, and Cardinals, that has to be just go full tank. Don't even.
Yeah, it's a joke. They talk about, we don't want to tank. Why the fuck not?
Like, if you're gonna be
they
dumb
have a
enough,
lot of draft picks.
If you're gonna be dumb enough to try and win games and to like miss out on the chance to draft a Caleb Williams, who's supposed to be the best thing since Patrick Mahomes, then you should be sent to the XFL. Oh,
yeah. Well, they gotta trade their players. I mean, the fact that Buda Baker's still on that team, I'm like, what is happening here? Get him out.
And so with the Seahawks, what? Do you think they're gonna have more success than they did last year, or do you think they're gonna like win? They're gonna win less games. Like, what's your feel for the Seahawks? Because they did draft that receiver Jackson Smith and Jigba, and having him alongside DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, that could be scary.
They got the digs, the free safety digs. Kenneth Walker should have a better year. Man, Jamal but, Adams and Shaquan Diggs. Woo.
Didn't they get also Bobby Wagner back on the team?
Yeah, they do have Bobby Wagner back. Definitely a top-heavy team, because then when you keep going, it's like, ooh, there is not much going on. But they got your boy Noah Fant. About that?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, if you guys see how their line develops, so this guy Lucas on the right, Cross on the left. They had the two, they were both rookies last year, and see how they go now. I think they'll be around the same, maybe. Maybe a little bit better.
Do you think Geno Smith can replicate what he did last year? Or do
yeah.
you think...
Okay. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
He's got, you look at the weapons he has. Everyone talks about what weapons does he have. He's got this receiver you just talked about they drafted. Lockett, Metcalf, and Walker. And Fant. So.
That's the one thing, though. I don't think they have a running game. Like, do you know who their running back is?
Kenneth Walker.
Kenneth Walker. Okay. Yeah. Because I think they're going to run in a lot of play action, but if their running back isn't stabbed, then defenses aren't going to bite. So that'll compromise the passing. But yeah, I think the Seahawks will be good, but I don't know, something about them, I'm like, maybe it was like seeing Pete Carroll play quarterback with his team, and like people were like, oh my God, look at Pete Carroll. I'm like, sit on the sideline. You're 71 years old. Don't give yourself a stroke. But all right, let's do the next division.
Oh my God, the next division. The fucking Lions, the feel-good team of the world, the Detroit Lions. You would think that they would win the division this year, finally. You would think, finally, that they would finally win the division. Everything seems to be in place. Rodgers is finally gone. The Vikings are a mess. The Bears, they're on the come up. You know what? I'm going to say the Bears make the playoffs. How about that?
Wow, David, mark it down. Might be the most shocking take. The Chicago Bears will make the playoffs as per Matty of the GSC.
Another one. Chase Claypool by the trade deadline.
Oh, wow. Going to New Orleans?
Going to nowhere. I don't think anyone's going to want him.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, you're not high on Chase Claypool. Because you think he's too cocky? Is that it?
Well, I just don't like his attitude.
Okay.
I think he's he's a guy who will just whine and complain before he tries to get better.
Oh, but you're gonna like this. Dan Larson said this, and you're gonna like this take. He says that he thinks the Packers are gonna be really good, but I was like, and like I see his point. Like I see other people saying that they think that the Packers, they have a good team. It's just Jordan Love is the question mark, because how good will he be? But defensively they're good. Offensively they're good. But he said that he can see the Packers making it to the NFC Conference Championship game. And I was like, oh, Dan, you were so close. So why'd you have to, like, take it there?
This guy, fuck.
You didn't have to take it there.
This guy.
It's like, I don't know if that's worse than his Carson Wentz is going to be. He's going to play MVP caliber football when he got to Indianapolis. But
this guy.
It's just like the Packers are. There's like Aaron Rodgers is not there. They don't have a lot of hype. Jordan Love can like fly under the radar, and then boom, you just hear this shit. And it's like, no, you're putting too much pressure on this kid. Just let him play. Let him have his growing pains.
I don't think they'll make the playoffs.
Oh, what about the Vikings?
Don't know how. You just don't know how that guy's gonna play, Jordan Love. You have to wait and see. Oh.
Yeah.
No, the Vikings aren't making the playoffs either. Fuck them. Their fucking fans deserve that.
Yeah, they should go on a slide, because they won. If you remember, they won a lot of close games last year, and a lot of it was just like Kirk Cousins just chucking it up to Justin Jefferson.
Everyone wants to talk about how he's a good quarterback now. It's like, no, he's not. This is so Randy Moss and Dante Culpepper 2.0. How can people not remember? I still don't understand. How can people get fooled yet again?
So the Vikings, what are they going to finish, like 7-10, 6-11?
I don't know the record. They're missing the playoffs in a weak conference. How about that?
All right, so you got...
Oh, my
God. Do you have the Lions winning the division?
I'm going to pass on the winner.
Oh, wow. Wow, you got to pass at the NFC North. That's a classic Michael Wilbon push.
I'm not picking them.
I'm
picking the Bears to win a division. Let's go.
Oh, David, mark it down. The Bears will not only make the playoffs, but they will win the division. By the way, Justin Fields should have been drafted by the Denver Broncos. Even though Practice 13 II is already one of the best cornerbacks.
That's the lines. Sorry, Teddy.
Oh, David, he fell into the mech and he scared Teddy. Wow.
No, I poked him with the chair.
Oh, is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, so mark it down. Justin Fields should have been drafted by the Denver Broncos. Even though Patrick Surtain second has been great for us, he's already one of the best DBs in football. But yeah, still mark it down. Because if we had him, we wouldn't be in this Russell Wilson mess. Anyway, so let's get to your division and talk about your New Orleans Saints. David, he is doing the Oppenheimer face for
He got it, yeah. Panthers win the division. How about that? No. How about that? How about that?
David, mark me down.
Every other team under 500.
David, mark me down. The New Orleans Saints are winning the division, and they're gonna make some noise. How about that?
You know, they have the easiest schedule in the league.
Ah, well, there you go. That should help.
They have the easiest schedule this year. They're just so out of excuses. All I've heard all offseason, their tight end room is so deep. Johnson, Jimmy Graham is back. Let's go. Fucking Foster Moreau is there. Taysom Hill is also there. Let's go. Derek Carr, he's going to have a resurgence. The running backs are deep. Kendrick Miller. Williams, he's in from the Lions. Alvin Kamara, even though he's suspended, he'll be back. Whoa, the offensive line has depth. Whoa, the receivers, we got Michael Thomas, he's back, he's gonna have a return season because he has chemistry with Derek Carr, even though we haven't seen them play together. Chris Olave, oh my gosh, he's gonna be so good. Rashid Shaheed, he's gonna fucking go off. Oh my god, the Saints have no more excuses. Oh, I can't, the coaching is not good. They're gonna be. They have all these weapons. Everyone talks all this shit of all these weapons. You're gonna see so many 3-yard screens this year from the Saints. You're gonna see so many short passes. They're such a bad team. God damn! I can't wait to see them lose. So these fucking coaches can get out. Tyrann Mathieu, the defense though, ooh, that is such a question mark because the safeties, they're kind of washed. They only have two linebackers pretty much. They didn't end up replacing Caden Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
The defensive line, a lot of question marks there because you guys still got Cam Jordan on one side, but then who's on the other side? Is it Peyton Turner? Can't stay on the field. Is it Isaiah Foskey? I hope so. Brian Breeze in the they got a new Breeze. We got a new Breeze. Brian Breeze, defensive tackle. I kind of like him. I hope he succeeds a bit. He's next to Nathan Shepard, and who the fuck is the other defensive tackle? Nathan Shepard, Canadian.
Oh,
guy who couldn't stay on the field in New York. Why the fuck is Brian Breeze is still listed as the third? That's weird. Kalen Saunders is the other starting defensive tackle. Don't like him. And you know their corners. We're still going with Lattimore, sure. Then we have Taylor and Adebo and Bradley Roby. He's gone. I don't know. They're missing the playoffs. Atlanta, they fucking suck. The Buccaneers, that's a bottom three team in the league.
Yep. And, the Falcons, I don't know. I don't know what to make of Desmond Ridder. Some people seem to be high on him. Others,
They did spend a lot of money in the offseason. They could make the playoffs.
Yeah. And
possibility.
Didn't they trade for like a rookie running back? No, they drafted a rookie.
They drafted, running back, yeah.
Bijan Robinson.
Bijan Robinson, yeah.
So and like
pretty high.
Yeah.
What that?
Yeah, and they had a sneaky good running game last year. That running game should improve this year, and they just have some. I think they still have Cordarrelle Patterson on that team.
Yeah.
So
Cordarrelle Patterson's still there, running back.
So they're going to be running an offense that's going to be tough for a lot of defenses to stop. So Falcons, they might squeeze into a wild card, or they might just be competitive. The Panthers, you know, that offensive line, it's been shaky in the preseason, and that was supposed to be their strength too, and it hasn't looked good so far. So,
yep, they have. I like their left tackle, Idoku, I think that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Where is Carolina? I do like their left tackle, and they got Morton on the right. So the fact that the line has been shaky, that's not a good sign. Brian Burns is holding out.
Mm-hmm.
That's very bad for them.
Yep.
You know, they still have Derrick Brown. They brought in a lot of guys. You know, they have Thielen, J.C. Horn. If he stays healthy, he should be good. They brought in Von Bell and Von Bell at strong safety.
Yeah.
Yeah, Doku on left tackle. They got. I wonder if Chuba Hubbard is going to be playing at anytime at halfback. But they do have Miles Sanders. They brought in Miles Sanders from.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Philly.
Yeah.
Bryce Young. Will he succeed?
Yeah, I mean he can do some incredible playmaking, but he is a small quarterback. Like I see him out there, and I'm like, ooh, that dude is small. But apparently he can take a hit. That's a big thing.
They also drafted a guy, Jonathan Mingo.
Oh,
so there's a Ringo in Philly and a Mingo in Carolina.
I like that, David. How you like that? Is Todd Bowles still the coach in Tampa Bay?
Yes. He won't be pro.
Yeah, they're gonna try and stick up at it. Even though they have Mike Evans, they have Chris Godwin. If I was them, I would do like a fire sale and ship those guys off elsewhere.
Yeah, but I think that might happen at some point. There's even talk of Devin White, the linebacker, getting traded, and he's from Louisiana, went to LSU. So the Saints fans are clamoring for this guy.
I mean, the Mario Davis and Devin White two-headed linebacker monster. Yeah. Ooh.
He would be the guy, I guess. He would be the guy who replaces Davis as well.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how many years Davis has left. I would say at least maybe two, including this season. The Panthers winning.
Oh. What about Cam Jordan? Like, how many? Like,
Well, he signed for 3 years. He has three more years under contract, including this one.
Mm-hmm.
But then he keeps playing well. He keeps playing well. I don't get it.
Yeah, he's still stacking him up. But
guys, they are paying him a lot of fucking money. Anyway, who are we? Got seven teams to make it here. So I want to go
through the same schedule. I want to see how many wins they're gonna get.
Six.
So they start off against the Titans in Tennessee.
At home. That's at home.
Oh yeah, that is at home. My bad. That is at home.
If they lose that game, woo! It's panic time.
Then they play at Carolina here's the thing, because like they changed the way teams can practice, it's hard for offensive lines to get the reps that they need. So if the New Orleans Saints could take advantage of that early on against the Panthers, that's a win that they could get in Carolina. Then they play at Green Bay. That should be a win. Then they play at home against the Bucks. That's the win. Then they play at New England. That should be a win. Then they play at Houston. That should be a win. Then they play at home against the Jacks. Might be a loss. Then play at Indianapolis.
The fact that that's at home, that the Jaguars game, that's pretty big for them.
Yeah, and then they play at home against the Bears. That's a win. Then they play at Minnesota. That's a win. Then they have a bye week. Then play at Atlanta. That's a win.
They're undefeated so far.
No, they have one loss against the Jags. Then they play at home against the Lions. That's a loss. Then they play at home against the Panthers. That's a win. At home against the Giants. Man, that's tough. I think that should be a win. And but at the Rams.
Right before Christmas, man. I'm going to be watching this. That's for sure.
Would they get the LA flu? That's the question. Oh, it's a Thursday nighter, too.
This is a rivalry game. This is a straight-up rivalry game.
That's true. So that could be a toss up. Then they play at Tampa Bay. That's a win. Then they close it out at home against the Falcons. That's a win.
Oh my God, they're winning fucking how many games are this season? 17. That's a 15 win Saints team. Holy moly!
I mean, they're running away with the division. I don't know what else to say.
All right, for the NFC, let me pick my playoff teams here. Let me put my thingy here. NFC playoff teams.
Well, yeah, NFC. The Panthers winning the division, so they're automatically in.
Well, I'm gonna put the one seed. Hold on here. Come on. I got my mouse. What am I doing? It's trackpads and laptops, David. Get them out. Number one seed is Philly. Then San Francisco.
Wait, David, mark it down. Trackpad, get it out. Get him out. Thank you, David.
Panthers and I guess the Lions. They should win. So that's four. Let's see here. The Seahawks, five. Cowboys, six.
Who's that third team? The Giants? The Vikings? The Packers?
I'm gonna say the Giants, even though I said they missed the playoffs. Yeah, I gotta go with the Giants because I can't. I just can't pick the Falcons.
Mm.
Can't do that.
Wait, didn't I thought you said the Bears would make the playoffs? Because they had the Lions winning the
division. Oh yeah, let's do Bears. Let's do Bears. Yes, thank you. So that's those three. The Bears. How about them Cowboys and Seahawks? There you go.
All right, what about the AFC? Who you got?
Let's drag it over here. We have the number one seed is going to be. Boy, that's tough. That is tough. It's deep, but it's like, man, who's going to run away with this? I don't think the Chiefs will.
I feel like it's you either got to go with the Bengals or the Bills.
Yeah. I'll go with Cincinnati.
Ah.
The Natty. See, one seed. The Natties, and then the Bills, and then the Jags, and then the Broncos. Yep. And then for the wild cards, KC, Miami, and Steelers.
Oh.
Ravens miss. Holy fucking shit, dude.
The Ravens missed the playoffs. The Jets missed the playoffs. Oh, yep. My goodness. Hot takes from the GSE.
Yep.
Even the Chargers missed the playoffs. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are going to be some teams that are going to be heartbroken this year in the AFC. Should be fun, though. Should be fun. All right, who you got? Do you want to call the conference championship games or not yet? Or you just want to do Super Bowl matchup?
Philly, San Francisco championship game.
Okay.
And then in the AFC, KC Cincinnati.
Ooh. Ooh. At Cincinnati this time? Ooh.
And then Super Bowl will be Cincinnati and the 49ers.
Oh, wow. Joe Burrow versus Brock Purdy. The quarterback matchup that the NFL has dreamed up for months. And I'm sure you're gonna have a lot of quotes saying this matchup will be pretty good. But yeah, all right. Bengals, 49ers, Super Bowl, as for matter of the GFC, David, mark it the fuck down.
Mr. Irrelevant versus the first overall pick. Oh my god.
Do you wanna say who are gonna win these awards, like MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, shit like that?
Let's take a look. MVP.
Now, the easy pick is Patrick Mahomes because everybody loves Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. That is the easy pick. Justin Jefferson, Offensive Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he'll be on the cover of Madden next year.
Ah.
Let's see here. Defensive Player of the Year. That's tough. Mm-hmm. I'd go off the board and say Brian Burns if he wasn't holding out.
Oh.
Let's go Micah Parsons. Why not?
Ah, that's a good pick. That's a good pick.
Easy. Going chalk, David, as they say.
No, you could have gone with Nick Bosa or TJ Watt or fucking... Who's Sauce Gardner. You could have gone with him. Or Quinnen Williams.
I'm going to pick Burrow for MVP.
Oh!
They finished first overall. I mean... We'd have to think.
Burrowhead.
Rookie of the Year. Let's see. Can I see the draft again? Let's see. Oh, Defensive Rookie of the Year, Jalen Carter. That's easy.
Offensive Rookie of the Year. Who could it be? Bijan Robinson, maybe? Or maybe Justin Smith? And I don't think he'll get enough touches in Seattle. Probably not. Bryce Young, maybe? CJ Stroud? I don't know. It's tough.
Well, if the Panthers win the division, yeah, I'll probably be Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Who wins that? Yeah, I guess I'll go with Bryce Young.
Okay.
This guy, Will McDonald in New York, though, keep an eye on him. Quentin Johnson also in San Diego, in Chargers, LA Chargers.
No,
Mazzie Smith in Dallas, he's pretty good, too.
Everybody's favorite award. Oh, we can't, also for Offensive Rookie of the Year. What's that? Dalton Kincaid in Buffalo. People are really high.
Oh, yes. People really like him at tight end.
Yeah. But now everybody's favorite award, Comeback Player of the Year. Who you got?
I don't know. Like, I don't even know who I'd pick for that.
Yeah, Tony Pollard, maybe?
Yeah, most people would pick Michael Thomas, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's a good pick. But,
Maybe you'll be Tua. Maybe they'll pick Tua for it.
Or DeMar Hamlin, if he has a good year.
Oh, yeah.
Might be him. If he makes it to the Pro Bowl, oh, he's a shoo-in for Comeback Player of the Year.
That'd be fucked up because he got hurt pretty late. Yeah. You know?
But he almost died.
Feel good story, though, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Did we cover everything? I feel like we did.
I think we did.
Yeah. So did you we're gonna talk about the Trey Lance thing. Jonathan Taylor, gotta keep an eye on that, because like if a contender loses their starting running back, I think Indy might be fielding some calls, so that could be interesting. Yeah, and then you have like all these holdouts with Nick Bosa. I think Nick Bosa thing, that's gonna get resolved like before week one. Like I'd be surprised if that shit lingered. Chris Jones though, that's gonna linger, I think. And should be now, how much football are you gonna be watching? That's the question.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching the rest of the league this year. That's for sure. Miami also has a cornerback named Cam Smith that I also really like. I don't know if I'm gonna be watching next Sunday.
Okay.
Because I'm not working today because Labor Day is always slow, so I might work next Sunday. But I'll be watching. I'll be in week two. I'm fucking locked in.
Are you gonna check out the Thursday night season opener between the Lions and Chiefs?
I won't have the zone. I won't have the zone.
Okay.
I'll be checking the box score though.
Okay. I think we covered everything NFL related. Do you have anything else?
No. Let's talk about this shit fucking Oppenheimer movie.
Transition.
No, there's a moment in Oppenheimer where, because you've seen it, of course.
Spoilers, by the way. Spoilers for Oppenheimer if you haven't seen it.
Sorry, David. There's a point in Oppenheimer where Oppenheimer is having his courtroom scene. That's not really a courtroom scene, his interrogation. And people are grilling him, and he just kind of puts his hand over his face, and he's just like, will anybody tell the truth of what is happening here?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Chris Nolan will. That is such a director giving himself a pat on the back.
Yeah.
Line. I was like, oh my god. But overrated, for sure. Super overrated. I didn't hate it, but I was just like...
Well, you said in the chat, you gave it 2 out of 5. 2 out of 5 is not bad.
Yeah, 2 out of 5, yeah. Man, it's a Chris Nolan movie. Because people are just explaining everything. Explaining how they're going to make the bomb, why they need to make the bomb, when they're going to make the bomb, when they're going to destroy the bomb, why they should do this instead of this, this bomb instead of the Super H bomb. Robert Downey Jr. explaining what he's doing, explaining what's happening to him, explaining what Oppenheimer is doing, what Oppenheimer did, why Oppenheimer is doing what he's doing. And then near the end, people start yelling and screaming because it's an Oscar movie. You have two courtroom scenes happening simultaneously in the movie, like two parallel courtroom scenes. And in one of them, Robert Downey Jr. is yelling like in the back room. And then that is also happening while the mean lawyer, I guess, is yelling at Oppenheimer. I'm like, oh my God. Anyway, I wasn't moved.
And then at one point, Rami Malek shows up out of nowhere.
Yeah, to save the day. He's the good guy while Dane DeHaan continues to be the bad guy.
And these two women who ran horribly, and like, you're just wasting the talents of Emily Blunt and Florence Pugh. But you know, you see like these commercials for it, and it's just like, oh, when Chris Nolan calls you to make a movie, you have to show up. So
I actually liked Emily Blunt in this movie.
Yeah, it's funny that she said that you liked that scene at the end where he didn't shake his hand. I figured that you'd be like, oh, that's like such a like feminism move, but
no, I didn't think it was. I thought it was just, you know, because she was so pissed off that he shook his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then the makeup in that scene was good, and then she just the face she makes at him. But,
yeah.
And he's just like, ugh. Actually, I did enjoy that.
Okay.
Didn't forget. I'd do the same thing.
So you give it 2 out of 5. I'd give it 2.5 out of 5.
Wow, how about that. Florence Pugh, yeah, that was just like, what is happening here? I love that's another such a Hollywood thing. We got to have the love story in here. We have to have the love stories. We have to have the sex.
Mm-hmm.
There's, and they, you know, they have to shoehorn the women in because it's like, well, it's a movie. It's a major movie. So we have to have, you know, we have to have some women in there. But there's a woman who's working on the Manhattan Project.
Yeah.
They don't focus on her at all. You'd think that, you know, if you're going to shoehorn a woman in because, you know, you feel like you have to fill your quota. And in this movie, it 100% feels like they're filling in a quota.
Mm.
Why not focus on this person?
Yep.
I don't even remember what her name was.
And that's the problem with Christopher Nolan. That is exactly the problem. But, yeah, I mean, that, I kind of feel the same way. It's like, it's less, because I remember I went to the pool party that David and his wife were having. And I don't know, because I think your fiance asked me if I saw Oppenheimer, what I thought of it. And I was like, eh, I didn't really like it that much. And then, like, a few heads turned. They were like, what? What do you mean? And then I was like, and then I, you know, sometimes like you have a take and like you feel the heat coming on you. And it's like, the fuck? So I have to be like, it's more of a, I have more of a Christopher Nolan issue.
And then you were just like, you people don't understand why Chris Nolan sucks. This I'm here in the West Island filled with a bunch of yahoos. Boo. Boo. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I just want to let you know, I want to be caught dead out in Beaconsfield. I just want to let you know. Beaconsfield, more like Weekendsfield.
Oh, well, the W is not ingratiating himself to the local fans tonight.
But this is the funny thing. Like, when I said that, I was like, oh, I have more of a Christopher Nolan issue. And then people were like, oh, okay. But there was this one guy who said, I don't know, I guess he's a fan of Christopher Nolan. But like, he's also like, makes movies that it's like, he's iffy on. But like, he mentioned this where he watched Tenet 6 times. Because he wanted to understand what it was, and I was like, God damn, that is some dedication. Because I saw it twice, and I'm like, that is more than enough.
Yep.
But yeah, just like with Christopher Nolan, with like the exposition, of course, and like some of the directorial choices that he makes, where like he's closing in on a character for no fucking reason, and the shot reverse shot isn't it doesn't make any sense. There's no parallelism. It's just he's has these 2 camera setups where you can just have like a single camera setup, because there's some shots where it's like, oh, that's good, this is good filmmaking, but there are other shots where it's just like, it just feels like he's just doing a bunch of shit, and then in the editing bay it's like, all right, figure it out. And it's just like, and also like, it's there are parts where it's like, it's a 3-hour movie, but there are parts that feel rushed. And it's like, yeah, if you're gonna make it 3 hours, just like, you know, explore the relationship more between Cillian Murphy and Florence Pugh. Like, you could have done more. Also, at one point, like, Florence Pugh is naked, and it's just like, I don't understand the point of that. But it was just like, oh, but maybe like a marketing tool or whatever.
Movie for adults.
Yeah,
adults film. There were so many people complaining about that sex scene online, and I was like, wow, I must actually, there's a real sex scene in a Nolan movie. That's crazy. And then I watched, this shit lasts like 15 seconds. Man, people are fucking sensitive.
I don't even remember the sex scene.
Holy moly. People are sensitive.
But what I did like was, I thought the sound design was good. That scene in the gym, I liked what he did with the sound. I thought that was probably like a top 10 Nolan scene. I did like what he did with the bomb. Like, that was like a unique film explosion. That I've never seen that in a movie before, so that was pretty good. But outside of that, like you said, like you were, like, I agree with you, I wasn't moved by anyone or anything. And yeah, but what do you think about your boy Cillian Murphy? Wait, by the way, your fiance called him Killian Murphy, so is it Killian or Cillian?
I don't care if I ask him. I don't know. Mr. Murphy, it's Mr. Murphy to you.
Ask him.
I'm not good with pronunciation. Fuck, ask David. You know.
What did you think of his performance?
You know, it was just okay. I wasn't really. It wasn't one of my favorites, which is the most disappointing part. And you know, I'd like to say I hope I'm done with Chris Nolan. I'm done with Chris Nolan. Never say never.
You were done after Tenet, but then you saw that trailer like him fixing the hat in Oppenheimer.
Watch,
you're like,
oh, movie. Watch what's going to be his next movie. Christopher Nolan's new movie starring Paul Dano, Robert Pattinson, Matt Johnson.
Matt Johnson.
half the cast of Friday Night Lights. Matthew McConaughey, Woody Harrelson.
Julianne Moore, Amy Adams.
Oh, yeah, yes. yes, yeah, there you go. And then they'll sneak in half the cast from Friday Night Lights and the good actors from The Wire. Oh, fuck's sake, I gotta go again. Great.
And in a revolutionary move, Barry Jenkins as the director of photography.
Oh, yeah, director. Okay, wow. How about that?
Or it could be a co-writer. Who knows? But I was hanging out with your buddy Josh, and I guess our buddy now, and he mentioned this interesting thing where he felt like Christopher Nolan's movies haven't been the same since his brother didn't write the movies alongside him.
Yeah, I've heard that take from him before.
Which I thought about, yeah, it. I was like, oh yeah, that's true.
It's kind of like Paul Schrader with his brother. Because his brother was along for the ride for a lot of the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Schrader completely alienated him.
Oh, okay.
And then, his movies weren't... First Reform was good. But other than that, it's gone downhill.
Yeah.
Chris Nolan, I'll say this. I cannot fucking believe this guy's in the same league. Considered to be in the same league as Denis Villeneuve. And I'm not in love with the last two movies Denis Villeneuve made, but the fact that people say that these two, you know, for money-wise, yes. And well, Chris Nolan's higher than Villeneuve because his movies make more money, but I don't really care about money, so I guess that makes me wrong, morally wrong, and I should be sent to I should be sent to Belize for not caring so much about how much a director makes. But Denis Villeneuve and Chris Nolan on the same level, that is insanity.
I thought you were about to do the Kevin Garnett from Uncut Gems thing. Don't even know in the same category as Christopher Nolan? That's a joke.
Oh, that's a good meme. Damn.
Oh, man. All right. Well, and would you like to share your Christopher Nolan new movie rankings?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. I'll bring it up. I might have to make some changes on the fly, though. Oh. What else was I going to say? Yeah, I think most people are lying when they say they like it a lot. I think people are just trying to go along for the ride. I don't believe people when they talk about how great it is. I'm just like, you're trying to be, you know, you're just trying to fit in, aren't you?
And people are already calling it the best movie of the year, and I'm like...
No, yeah, it's not. It's not the best movie of the year.
If that's the best movie of the year, then... Eesh. Eesh. But, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I made one change, so it's even newer now.
Oh.
From 12 to 1. Number 12, Tenet, absolute garbage. Number 11, Interstellar, another absolute trash. Insomnia, fucking terrible. So that would be the F tier, by the way.
Mm.
9, Oppenheimer. 8, Dark Knight Rises. And then 7, Dunkirk. I guess I like Dunkirk more than... But I've only seen it the one time. I don't think I'll see it again. 6, Batman Begins. 5, Inception. 4, The Dark Knight. What?
Oh.
3, Following. Then Memento. 2, and then Prestige 1.
Mm.
It's not a better filmmaker than Denis Villeneuve. It's not close.
No. Really not. People will say that.
Phonies.
People will say that. They just want to be interesting. That's all it is.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I stole your line. I told you that I would steal your line. But I put that on. I posted that somewhere on some sort of, someone doing something fucking stupid on the internet. If someone's saying something fucking stupid, and I just commented, people like to be interesting. Over 100 likes.
How about that? Let's go. That's why, David, the GSC, even though we don't do an episode, the GSC lives on strongly. But, I haven't seen three of those movies. I haven't seen Following, Memento, and Insomnia. I've only seen Prestige once, but mm-hmm. I do agree that's a top tier Nolan movie. For me, I would still have The Dark Knight at 1, then Prestige at 2, Dunkirk at 3, and I would have Tenet last and Interstellar second to last, and then I would have Oppenheimer, so I would agree with you there. Then, like, the middle, it's like, you know, Batman Begins, Dark Knight Rises, But I would have Dunkirk at three because I think Dunkirk. I think that's one of Nolan's best movies, particularly one. No exposition, very little dialogue, which is great.
Maybe I should revisit it for that.
And it's only an hour and 45 minutes ish.
Oh,
so it's not a lot of exposition, and it's not too long, which is that's an issue with Nolan movies. Like, and Oppenheimer and Tenet were too long for no fucking reason.
Oh, there's another thing about Chris Nolan. This is another reason why he's not in the same league as Denis Villeneuve. Every movie he makes is just a ticking clock movie. Every single one. We got to get off the beach before the Nazis show up. We got to get this thing before this guy wakes. We got to get this thing. We got to implant this memory into this guy's dream before he wakes up. We got to make the bomb before the Nazis. We got to get to Bane before he blows up the bomb. We got to get to the Joker before he blows up these boats. We got to...
We got to go to another galaxy to find another planet.
We got to find another planet. We got to go to another galaxy or humankind is over. We have to... win this battle before I can't really remember what the goal of Tenet was near the end, but I remember
it was to prevent nuclear holocaust.
Nuclear holocaust. We gotta raise the stakes. The stakes have to be raised, and then the score is. I'll just say this: at least Hans Zimmer's not. I didn't like the score, but it's better than Hans Zimmer.
Right,
one note,
good,
fuck. Just yeah, one note again and again.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I haven't seen was Memento a ticking clock movie?
Actually, no. Well, yeah, he's trying to find his he's trying to find the person who killed his wife, I guess. And it has elements of a ticking clock movie because he keeps losing his memory. He has short term memory loss, so he can only after 15 minutes he doesn't remember what he's doing. So he has to rush in those 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's like little intervals, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Prestige has that. I don't think Prestige. That's probably why I like it the most.
Yeah. Yeah, even Batman Begins, didn't really have a ticking clock feel. It was just more like, you know, Bruce Wayne finding himself in Batman.
Well, and then he had to stop the train. Eventually, he had to stop the train.
Yeah, but yeah. Yeah, I guess.
But it's not the whole movie. It's not the whole movie.
Exactly. All right, do you have any more Oppenheimer or Christopher Nolan thoughts?
No. I hope I'm done. I get to go to Chris Nolan Anonymous. Start a support group.
Christopher Nolan Anonymous. Do you want to talk about some movies that you've seen over the last little while?
Okay, yeah, let me rattle this off. I don't want to talk about Aaron Brockovich today, by the way. We can do that when we come back.
We can just give our ratings and then just... Okay. Or do you want to talk about... You really want to talk about it in December? Because I'm probably going to forget about the movie. I've forgotten about the movie already, if I'm being honest.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. Well, I gave it 3.5.
Oh, wow. What would I give it? Did I give it a rating? No, I did not give it a rating.
That thing you told me about how Aaron Eckhart is playing... The guy in real life was a Latino?
I didn't tell you that. Must have been.
Oh, you didn't tell me that? It was someone else? Okay.
Yeah, because I didn't know that. Yeah, well, I think you mentioned it to me, and then I had a reaction where I was like, oh, typical.
Well, when I learned that, I was just like, that is egregious, man. Yeah. That is so egregious. We need to make Aaron Eckhart a star. Put him in anyway. Fuck.
Yeah, I think I would give Aaron Brockovich 2.5 out of 5. Like, it's a good Soderbergh movie, but it's just Julia Roberts, her winning the Oscar. I was watching that, I was like, really? She went for that? I didn't think she was that good personally, but I don't know. I did like Albert Finney. But I only have like 3 notes from this movie, by the way. I can just rattle them off real quick. The first one that I have is, did not see that car crash coming.
Oh.
And I asked, do you ever see a one take car crash like that before in a movie?
Where someone gets
well, it's like it's a car crash, but it's all
someone
done
gets T-boned.
Yeah, but all in one take.
Well,
I'm sure it's been done.
Does Children of Men count as a car crash when they get ambushed? I don't think it counts as a car crash. I think it may have been done in an Inuritu movie. He likes car crashes. Car crashes were really a thing in the late 90s. I don't think so. I can't think of one off the top of my head. where it's one take.
All right, the next one that I have is a little bit of dialogue where Ed, played by Albert Finney, says, What makes you think you could just walk in there and find what we need? And then Aaron goes, they're called boobs, Ed. I'm like, oh, that was funny.
90s line. Yeah.
And then the last note that I wrote was, oh, it's the you're not the man woman from Seinfeld. When there was like, it was like Aaron talking with some other lawyers, and then I think they're handing over the case to another firm, and yeah, there was a woman who was like leading the charge. Right. And it was, you remember that the you're not a man woman from Seinfeld, that her boyfriend ended up being in a coma, but like Jerry was having a relationship with her.
Oh yes,
I saw that. I was like, oh shit, it's Early. The same woman. Yeah,
damn, I didn't recognize her. I usually recognize them all.
So yeah, that's my last one on Aaron Brockovich. 2.5 out of 5. Did you want to share some more thoughts on it, or
no, I can't really remember much either.
Yeah, it was 2 months ago, David. Leave us alone. Stop yelling at us.
I can rapid fire through the things that I've seen. I have not seen much since the last time. I haven't been watching movies quite a lot, which is... I'm in a funk. But I'll rapid fire through this real quick. Let's see. I just got to make a quick edit here. Zoot. Okay, save. All right, here he is, the movies since Aaron Brockovich. There aren't many. Steve Jobs, that is the Danny Boyle Ashton, Steve Jobs.
Oh, that was the Ashton Kutcher one. Whoa.
No, you know what, Ashton Kutcher, he kind of looks like Steve. He looks, they actually got to look pretty well down. I was like, yep. I've seen footage of young Steve Jobs and I was like, oh fuck, he actually looked a lot like him. Steve Jobs, the anyway, 3.5. The Imitation Game, that's another 3.5. Probably, you know what? It's a 3. Mm. Imitation Game, that's a 3. That's a forgettable movie. Something very ironic about that movie. Because it's about a guy who history forgot. And who's that's the tragedy of his life. That no one really acknowledged what he did. And then the movie just does not live up to the story.
Mm.
This is the epitome of the typical... If you want to, like, what is a typical Oscar movie of the 2010s?
Yep.
Put on that.
Yep.
What is this? This is Saw 4. Watch that with the fiance. It's the last time you'll hear me say that.
That's true.
1 out of 5. It sucked. Then Steve Jobs documentary.
Oh.
The man in the machine. Wow. I give that a 2. I'm gonna change that to a 2. That was pretty. It pretty much is just telling you how about all the every mistake Steve Jobs has ever made in his life.
Man, my man was on a Steve Jobs kick.
I was on a kick. Past Lives, 2.5.
Oh, what a
movie shame. From this year. I wasn't really sold on it. Saw 5. How about that? 3 stars out of 5. How about that?
Oh, like, wow.
That's probably the best one. Snowden. That's the one with your boy, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. This movie sucked. That's 1 star out of 5.
Did Oliver Stone make that movie?
Yes.
Ugh.
And I didn't know until I started it and the credit came up and I was like,
I can't stop now, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to see the biopic. And then I saw The Insider.
Oh, wait, I got a quick question. It was Snowden better or worse than Savages?
Better.
Okay. All right, so you saw The Insider?
Insider, Michael Mann, 1999. 4. I'm going to put 4.5, actually.
Ooh. Yeah, I heard good things about that movie. That
was really good. Insider was really good. Really good Al Pacino performance. Really good Russell Crowe performance. And there is a gun in the movie, but there are no guns used in a Michael Mann movie. Whoa!
Wow.
Wild. Remember Wild by the guy who directed Dallas Buyers Club?
Oh, Jean-Marc Vallée.
Jean-Marc Vallée. Local boy.
Passed away. R.I.P.
Renee Zellweger.
Oh, I thought it was Reese Witherspoon.
Reese Witherspoon. Excuse me. Reese Witherspoon. Thank you for the quick correction on that. Reese Witherspoon. Yeah, it's a shame I fucked up the name because she was the only good thing about the movie.
Yeah,
this is another movie that does not live up to the story at all. There's so many flashbacks in this movie. It's nothing but fucking flashbacks, and it's very little. It's supposed to be about this woman walking across, walking from Mexico to BC on this nature trail, and there's almost no hiking. Until like the last 15 minutes, and then it's all hiking, and then that's when it's the most interesting.
Okay.
But they focus so much on her relationship with her mom, and it's so cliche indie movie. Like, there's a shot of Reese Witherspoon screaming in the forest. And then it cuts to a shot of her then dead mother screaming in a high school hallway. it's so like that. I mentioned this a few times, but there's an episode of American Dad where they parody indie movies, and like you can like one for one. There's so many, every single one. Well, what do we have after this? Saw 6.
Oh wow.
1.5. It sucked. Little Miss Sunshine, 5 fucking stars.
Wow.
One of the best cast movies you will see.
Wow. How about
that? They all hit.
The cast Bryan Cranston
was going off. Yeah. I forgot he was in the movie. I forgot he was there.
Yeah.
We got, who do we have in here? We had Greg Guinier, who I think he plays the dad, and he's probably the most forgettable actor. Tony Collette, Steve Carell, Paul Dano.
Abigail Breslin.
There you go.
And Alan Arkin won Best Supporting Actor for that movie when it should have gone to Eddie Murphy in Dreamgirls. They fucked it up.
5 stars. Everyone should see it. Great film. I remember when I was taking my scriptwriting class, and some people were suggesting I see Little Miss Sunshine, and I said some people were talking about it, and I said because I think the teacher recommended that, or he was going to screen it or something. It was like the only movie we saw, the only movie we were supposed to see. And I mentioned that I didn't see it. And Adrian and Jesse were both like, yo, what the fuck? Yo, you gotta see it. And it was one of the few Jesse recommendations that actually hit.
Oh.
After that, we have Saw 3D, the final chapter.
Oh, my God. Was it actually the final chapter?
No.
Oh, my God.
And then we get some good ones here. Buffalo 66. You ever hear about this movie?
Yeah.
Christina Ricci's in this.
Oh, was it
and
good?
A guy named Vincent Gallo, who people don't like. 4 out of 5. It was really good. I really, really, really liked this movie. All
right.
But it was mostly because of the style, the overall aesthetic. There's not really much story, because it's late '90s satire. Everything's ironic, kind of thing, and it's trying to be edgy, but the style of this movie was fucking fantastic. And the Safdies definitely saw this, because this guy, the guy who Vincent Gallo plays, Vincent, he's the filmmaker, writer, everything. This is his movie. He is the spinning image of Connie from Good Time.
Huh,
like, the way he looks, the way he fucking talks, the way he acts, it's like, whoa, okay, I see the missing piece is now in place, where it's like, oh, this is where the influence came from.
Right.
And the guy, he has one friend who called Goon, and the guy, the way that guy speaks is kind of like how Benny Safdie talks in Good Time too. So it's like, oh, and it's a New York movie. It's kind of a New York underground movie. So,
oh, real quick on Benny Safdie, I think he was my favorite part of Oppenheimer.
Oh,
throw that in there.
His accents. And then we go immediately straight downhill with a movie from 2004 called Taking Lives.
Oh, with David's girl Angelina Jolie.
And Ethan Hawke, that's the only reason I watched it. I was like, oh, Ethan Hawke, and it's set in Montreal, and they didn't fucking film it in Montreal. They filmed it in Quebec City. Can you believe this shit?
Yeah, David, when I was hanging out with a man and his fiance, they told me that, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, that's so
dumb. They all speak with Parisian accents. I was like, ooh, this is gonna piss off the separatists. And then we have, because the fiance didn't see it, 1976 GSC Hall of Fame movie, Taxi Driver.
Ooh, yeah. So it's on Netflix. It's calling me. It's calling me.
What a fun time! What a fun time! And then Oppenheimer. So that's it. That's the.
We still saw a lot. I mean, that's pretty good. For me, Aaron Brockovich saw that. I saw The Iron Giant for the first time.
Oh, Justin's gonna like that. Justin's gonna like that. Was that a Meme City movie night?
No, I saw that with my. That's right, people. I had a girlfriend over the summer. She broke up with me, so take that for data.
In between the breaks. Dang.
Well, we started dating back in May, and you know she broke things off in August. And she mentioned The Iron Giant being like her, if not her favorite movie, one of her favorite movies. So I decided to check it out, and I was like, oh, yeah, Brad Bird. I love The Incredibles. That's my favorite animated movie ever. So I'll check out The Iron Giant. And The Iron Giant is good. I will give that... I'll give that 3.5 out of 5. I thought it was a good animated movie.
Tell it to Justin when we do the bachelor party.
The next movie I saw, Cocaine Bear.
Oh, okay.
I'll give that 1.5 out of 5. Like, it is...
Dude, it's so fun!
It is what you think it would be, and but pretty forgettable. Some good casting, but otherwise, it's 1.5 out of 5. The next movie I saw, because I saw this movie because I was going to barbecue with Josh, and he was recommending this movie, and he was saying because you mentioned this because he was watching all the Fast and Furious movies with his wife. You remember he was talking about the first one. He was like, it's just Point Break with cars. That's what it is. And but Point Break, that's a much better movie. You should take that out if you haven't seen it. So I remember checking it out before I saw him. And I give this, it's a good 90s action movie. I'd give this 3.5 out of 5. Because I like what, oh man, what's the director's name? Catherine Bigelow. I can't believe I blanked on it. Catherine Bigelow, good movie. I liked how they would use dead presidents as masks for the robbers. I liked the fact that they were surfers. Keanu Reeves just doing his Keanu Reeves thing. I thought it was better in Speed. Patrick Swayze, I did like. I liked him in this movie. The soundtrack was pretty decent as well. They played, you remember that Jimi Hendrix song from Easy Rider? It's like, yeah. They play that in the movie, which it kind of feels off kilter, but it fit in with the scene because they're playing it as they're entering a house party, and I was like, nice. It's just like the ending took me out. It was close to being a 4-star movie, but the ending, it just took me out because I was like, the guy that Keanu Reeves, Johnny Utah, that dude should have been fired for multiple instances, and I was like, oh yeah, he could have done like a much better ending, but they went with a different ending, and I was like, oh man, no. So still some, a good movie, 3.5 out of 5. Then I saw back to back. I'm getting a visual of the fiance looking wait, lovely on, as looking lovely as always.
Do you rank Taxi Driver out of 5?
I'm giving your Taxi Driver rating right now, out of 5.
Oh.
4 to 5.
That's good.
See ya.
I saw back-to-back Stanley Kubrick movies.
My fucking God. He's hanging out with Josh, and then the culture is just seeping out.
Because I realized, I haven't seen a lot of Kubrick. I don't have a lot of Kubrick in my lexicon.
But he's a jerk. He's a jerk, though.
Yeah. I saw these movies because I was like, oh, maybe I could talk about it with Josh. We didn't talk about it, but it was fine. Wow. We talked about other shit. I saw Lolita.
Oh wow, I haven't seen that yet.
Because I read the book, so I was curious to see like how the movie would be. I would give the movie. I saw that and Doctor Strangelove. I think I would give both of those movies. No, I would give Lolita 2.5 out of 5, and I give Doctor Strangelove 3 out of 5.
Lolita is one of those movies. Lolita is it's very much a film historian movie. You know, it's just like, it seems to me that the greatness of that movie comes from when it was released because it was so taboo. Because that's the only thing anyone ever talks about. Mm. Like, it's like, I can't believe Kubrick made this. So it's that's kind of why I haven't watched it.
Well, it's funny
because I'm just like, it feels like you had to be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. But I kind of feel like it was the same thing with the release of the book. I think it's just like, I can't believe someone would write a book like this. But the interesting thing was,
people are horny, man.
I mentioned at the barbecue that I had seen it, and then it's like, oh, did you see the 1997 version? I'm like, no, I saw the Kubrick version. Like, oh, that the 90s version is much better. And I'm like, because I think someone saw both versions and they felt like the 97 version was more faithful to the book. And I was like, it's interesting that you said that, because Vladimir Nabokov, who wrote the book, wrote the screenplay for the Kubrick film. And they were really? I didn't know that. But I thought it was pretty faithful to the book, and I don't think it left out too much. It's about 2.5 hours, so I think it was a good length to cover what occurred in the book. I don't recall Kubrick changing too much. So, but at the same time, I don't think I'd go back and watch it. It's basically about a guy being a pedophile, so it's weird.
Here's another important point. It doesn't need to be like the book.
Yeah, exactly. But you know how some people are. It's like, oh.
I know. Yeah.
Whoa, but, what do you mean? They changed things from the book. It's fucking garbage. They changed things.
Yo, when he got mad for that Bat and the Cat reference in the Batman, I was like, really? You just like being mad, bro. You just being mad.
I should have gave him a high five when he said that. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. Just nitpicking everything. But, yeah, but Dr. Strangelove, I thought it was a pretty good satire.
Better than Oppenheimer.
Yeah, I would agree.
Better at depicting the how crazy those people are.
Do you like Dr. Strangelove?
It's okay. Do I have a Kubrick ranking somewhere? Well, keep going. I'll look and see.
Yeah, is 3.5? Is 3 out of 5 too high? Because I don't know if I'd go back and watch Dr. Strangelove, though.
It's the era of Kubrick that I'm not... Oh, here, I got it right here. Yeah, it's a third last for me. Mm. Aside from Paths of Glory and The Killing, his early work, I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. But I guess that was it, because I remember seeing the trailer for Dr. Strangelove and being like, oh my god, this movie's going to be revolutionary. And I watched it, and I'm sure it was unlike anything else that was released at the time, but...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, David, bringing that to 2.5 out of 5. If you're not writing these down, don't worry. It's cool. But just for the record, both Lolita and Dr. Strangelove, 2.5 out of 5.
I haven't seen Spartacus either.
Oh, he did Spartacus?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know
that. Well, a version of Spartacus. I'm sure it's been done a lot, but the famous one with Douglas.
Huh. I didn't know that was someone. Yeah. I thought that was someone like William Friedkin or something like that. Or Sam Peckinpah or something like that. But the next movie I watched was The Big Lebowski.
Oh,
I mean, just a
classic. Yeah, I remember you telling me.
5 out of 5. I mean, it's just it's perfect. I mean, it's just funny because I was talking about it with Josh and he said he loves it too, and he didn't like it at first either, because the first time I saw it, I didn't like it, because I saw it after Fargo. Same. And I was like, what? Same.
I remember I said I didn't like it. Is this what, am I remembering this correctly? I said I didn't like it, and you were like, you gotta rewatch it.
Yeah, maybe. I think I tried to urge you to rewatch it, because I feel like that's one of those movies that, like, on a second watch, it's, but one thing I've noticed, like, no women like this movie. It's just guys.
Man, that's good.
But which I get, because because I was talking to a friend, and this friend who used to date our friend Adam, and she was saying how much she hates the movie, and I was like, no, but I told her why I liked it, and she was like, okay, I think the reason why I dislike it, because Adam was watching, and he's like, the dude, that's who you gotta be, that's who you gotta aspire to be, like that's who we should be, and it's like, no, the guy's a bum. Like,
that
I love
classic.
The
that is, I believe that 100%.
Me too. When she said it, I was like, yep, that checks out. But yeah, I was talking about it with Josh, and I was telling him how, like, you know, it has that line that I live by every day, where the dude is just like, well, that's just like your opinion, man. I just live by that every day. And one other quote, he said, oh, that's interesting, because the other line that I use a lot is when the dude sees Bunny and then she's like, oh, blow on my toes, and then he looks over at some guy, the guy in the pool, is like, are you sure he won't mind? And Bunny's like, no, he won't care, he's a nihilist. And then the dude says, oh, that must be exhausting. And Josh says that if someone says like, oh, like I'm a Christian or I'm a vegan or something like that, Josh's like, oh, that must be exhausting. And then he just keeps it moving. I was like, oh, that's a funny thing to say. It might piss some people off, but I think it's funny. But anyways, The Big Lebowski, 5 out of 5. And the next movie, I saw Hitchcock movie, Rear Window, 4 out of 5.
I like it.
I liked how it took its time. It was like making you question, like, is this guy crazy for thinking this guy might be a killer? And then like it keeps on going, and there was
did it fill in gaps for that one Simpsons episode where he breaks his leg?
I can't remember that. It's funny. I remember
he thinks Flanders killed his mod.
Yeah, but I remember, it's funny, and I remember more the Death 70s show homage than the Simpsons one for whatever reason. Not saying that the 70s show version was better, but that stuck out to me more a little bit. But yeah, no, like Rear Window was good, and 4 out of 5. Next movie I saw was Barbie. I give that 3.5 out of 5. I was expecting it to like it a little bit more.
Not 5 gold stars? What the hell is going on here?
Yeah, unfortunately. But I did like it. Greta Gerwig's proving that, you know, she's one of the best filmmakers out there in Hollywood. And I'm glad that
Nolan territory. Nolan's the king.
I love that it had the success that it had. It was like, it's the highest grossing movie of the year. It crossed for $1 billion. And, you know, people keep saying it. It's just like, if you make a movie by women, starring women, for women, it'll be good. But Hollywood doesn't want to listen. They never listen. But no, I like Barbie. I like the performances from Robbie and Gosling in particular. And yeah, so 3.5 out of 5. Then I was hesitant to watch this with the ex because I feared that if she wouldn't have liked it, it would have crushed my heart. But she finally checked it out. Goodfellas.
No.
5 out of 5, obviously. She liked it. And at one point she was describing something, and then she was talking about the movie, and then she finished it off with, it was cute. It was cute. And I was like, I've never heard anyone describe anything about Goodfellas as cute. And she's like, oh, but you know what I mean. And I was like, okay. As long as you liked it, that's all that matters. But one thing I did enjoy was, as I was watching it, I try not to reveal too much, but the You're a Funny Guy scene, how that's playing out, and then, like, you know, Pesci is getting like a little bit more and more aggravated, and then he finishes it off with, like, what the fuck is so funny about me, tell me, and he just stares at Henry, and my ex went, he's joking, right? Like, he's not serious. And I was like, yes, you got it, Scorsese, you've done it again. But 5 out of 5 movie. I mean, it's better than The Godfather. Sorry, David. Next movie I saw, Oppenheimer. We already talked about it. I would give it 2.5 out of 5, so don't need to get into it. And I was in the I've been thinking about watching this movie for a while, so I finally decided to rewatch it. Inglourious Bastards, 5 out of 5. Like, we all know what it is. And then I saw this movie with Josh doing for a press screening, so I saw it before anybody else saw it.
You mentioned this Barbie 2. That's how fast the Illuminati works, David. They've already made the next one.
Barbie 2, the final chapter.
Oh my god.
It was my first press screening I've ever gone to. And I like 2 things. 1, no trailers. 2, if you pull out your phone, they're kicking you out. So I was like, yes.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. I went there. He brought me and the fiance to 1-2.
But it was just fun because we got there early so we could get some good seats. Well, we didn't get great seats, but the seats were fine. And I had to go to the washroom because I like to go right before the movie, so I don't feel like I have to go. And apparently, like, I came back and Josh was like, yeah, your seat was in high demand. And then it was like, yeah, like, but this guy came in with like his 5 friends and they were trying to like sit where we were. And I'm like looking at him like, what are you doing? And I was like, it is weird to show up at a press screening with 5 people 5 minutes before the movie. Like, what do you expect, bro? But anyways. But yeah, we saw The Equalizer 3.
Oh my goodness.
I've seen the first two, and I decided, because he asked me if I wanted to go. It's like,
didn't invite me. Didn't invite me. There's a new sheriff in town.
I don't know if you'd be into this kind of movie. Like, yes, I'm into this kind of movie. I would love to go. I'm not turning down a movie for free. Are you kidding? I mean, shit, I might even watch if I can see the next Christopher Nolan movie for free, I might consider it.
Denzel, come on.
I ain't throwing that in a free movie. Also, it's Denzel. I mean, come on. I would give this movie 3 out of 5. And I'm going to say this. 1, I think it's the best Equalizer out of the 3.
Whoa!
I'll go even further. I think it's Antoine Fuqua's best movie since Training Day.
Holy fucking shit. Movie to watch. They should have fucking got some quotes from you. You should have said you were pressed. I'm from the GSC. Come on now.
Well, you don't know about me? We're the best sports podcast in Montreal. It's like, so why are you talking movies? Where do you want to get a movie pass for if you're a sports show? And I'll just be like,
yeah, it's called variety. It's fucking racist.
But you know, it's a big reason why the movie was so good. Director of photography, Robert Richardson. Let's go.
Oh wow.
Yep. Also, they shot it on location in Italy, David. Come on. Oh. And it's not like just a part of it was shot in Italy. No, the whole
Dakota
movie
Fanning.
Was in Italy. So
Dakota Fanning's in that. Oh, so David, he's at half mast.
Yeah, the Dakota Fanning's in the movie Man on Fire reunion. Let's go.
Holy moly.
But yeah, I liked it. Like, and I liked how there wasn't too much violence, so that when the violence did happen, they made it. Because at this point, it's like, you know, Robert McCall is—he's a badass. He's, you know,
yeah.
He can fucking.
Ask you a question real quick before you really get into it. Did you see John Wick, the one that came out this year?
No, not yet.
Ah, damn. Okay, never mind.
Why? What's up?
Oh, I was gonna ask if it was better than John Wick.
Oh, well, I think so. Josh saw both Equalizer 3 and the latest John Wick. I think he prefers the Equalizer 3 over the latest John Wick movie.
Oh!
Yeah, he wasn't crazy about the last one, so.
Wow. But, I think he said something about how it doesn't have enough John in it.
Oh, yeah, he mentioned that to me, too. Yeah. Which is. I get why they would do that, because they're trying to, like, broaden the world or whatever, or they're trying to. You know, not, you know, give you too much John Wick or something. But anyways, yeah. But no, The Equalizer 3, 3 out of 5. I liked it. And last but not least, I saw a movie that Matt and Josh would agree that is Akira Kurosawa's best movie.
Oh, wow.
Stray Dog.
I don't think it's his best. I think Seven Samurai is his best, but I do love this movie a lot.
Okay, my bad. So do you think that this is your favorite Kurosawa film?
It's one of my favorites, I think. I haven't considered it too much.
Okay. Well, I gave it 4 out of 5.
I like it enough to buy it on the Criterion.
Oh.
Baseball, let's go! Fuck.
David, if you know, you know. Like I mentioned to Josh, like if there's some like good baseball scenes in a movie, I think that raises the bar for Matt. Like if you could get some good baseball in the movie, like
yeah. It's baseball and it's like historical footage as well.
Yeah.
So they're shooting at an actual like ballpark in Japan in the 40s.
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude? Come on.
No, the footage was really good. I mean, Toshiro Mifune. I mean, this guy.
Yeah, he's
legendary, man. Yeah. Legendary. And yeah. Before the movie, like Josh said, like he spoke about the heat. It's like I love the heat in this movie. It's like it's too bad there wasn't. Yeah. It's not a heat wave. Then he could really feel it. It's like
it's like the
heat is like a character in this movie. And I was like, but then you watch it and you're just watching like you see like motherfuckers dripping in sweat. And you're like, God damn.
Supposed to be warm this week too. It's already getting hot in my fucking apartment right now.
Yeah,
maybe I'll rewatch it this week.
Yeah. So yeah, 4 out of 5. I like his relationship with the older detective and how he's helping him and all that. And I was just making some different points. And there was something about the movie that reminded me, that was giving me flashbacks to Memories of Murder. And I was also pointing out some different stuff. But anyways. I mean, it's fucking Akira Kurosawa. I mean, he so far I've seen four of the movies. He hasn't missed yet, David. So, what else can I tell you? But yeah, so that's all. That's what I've seen. So, do you have any other movies that you forgot or anything that you wanted to mention?
No, that was it.
All right. So, is there anything else you want to mention, sports related or?
No, I don't think so. I think that covers it. We've got the bachelor party soon. We're gonna have it's gonna be the wife next time we reconvene.
That's right. And hopefully the next time I'll reconvene, I don't know. I mean, I should be done with the semester by that point. And hopefully I would have found a job. And I won't be broke anymore. And I can actually take you out for a good old-fashioned drunk at some point. I can pay for it. Like, the best man I'm supposed to be, but I can't do it because I'm a basic beta bitch, David. What's wrong with me? That's why she broke up with me, because I'm a basic beta bitch. Goodness. That's why. But yeah, no, I think things will be turning for the better, and by the time we come back, basketball will be in full swing. The in-season tournament will be occurring. Oh my god, it's a new initiative that the NBA is starting to make the regular season matter again. We're gonna be going down the wire in the NFL, and like by the time we come back, we'll know who the real teams are and who the fake teams are.
True. We'll know who is primed to be the world championships in football, and then we'll know who is close to being the world championships in the NBA.
And I think the hot stove is going to be heating up in the MLB, so we'll be seeing, like, is Ohtani going to stay? Is he going to go? Where will he go? Is he going to pitch again, like you mentioned?
I think he might become a relief pitcher. I've heard other people say it, too. The first thing I thought of was John Smoltz, and I heard a few people mention that.
Okay. Yeah, I can
see that. Second Tommy John, ooh. Mm. And he's out until he's not gonna pitch in at all next year.
Yeah. Well, if you have Tommy John surgery, can you still hit?
Yeah. Yeah. He did that. He's done that before. He had Tommy John and still hit.
Okay.
But he won't be rehabbing. And everyone's like, he needs to rehab.
Mm. Well, I mean, people are already calling him the best, one of the greatest players of all time, along with Trout. And the Angels have two of the greatest players of all time. And they can't even make the playoffs. Riddle me that, Manfred.
And they got trounced this year.
Yeah, and it's I don't know. It's like they also made moves at the deadline to, like, you know, fortify their pitching. But then I guess either some of the guys got hurt or they didn't work out, and they shipped him off again. And it's just like, man, this franchise sucks. Get him out. Get him. Send him to Portland or something. They're no longer allowed to be in SoCal.
Wow.
But the Dodgers, though, the Dodgers and the Braves had a series like recently, and Braves are the best team in baseball. Dodgers, like, in August, the Braves were 20-8. The Dodgers were 24-4. They were on fire, and the both teams had like MVP candidates. So it was they were going at it. But yeah, so when we reconvene in December, it will no longer be the fiance; it will be the wife. NFL will be in full swing. NBA will be in full swing. We will not do an NBA season preview because we will be too busy at that time. But by the time we come back, fuck it, we could do like a season preview 20 games in December. Who's going to stop us? We're the GSC. Fuck out of here. So, yeah, do you have anything else to add before we wrap it up?
No, I think that covers it.
All right, well, thank you for joining us on this one-off episode of the Gentleman's Sports Corner. We apologize for the inconvenience of not being, not doing this regularly, but again, life got in the way, but it should settle down soonish. We'll be back in December, full swing, and thank you for listening. If you enjoyed it, come back next time in December, and if you didn't, you didn't pay for it, so it's not that big of a deal. I'm the W, he's Maddie, and David, they're called boobs, Ed.